edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the very serious, I think very grave issue. November of 2026, it'll be on the ballot in the state of Florida to make the state of Florida what I'm calling the capital of the South of pot use. We'll have people coming in by the millions from across the nation just to buy their pot in the state of Florida. It will be a destruction, I believe, of our state. But yet, beyond that, of knowing that just hanging in the balance right now is the potentiality of President Donald J. Trump signing an order making marijuana class 3 rather than class 1 drug use. I'm looking at part of what this will do according to President Trump. Regulatory and compliance cost. Said Schedule 1 drugs incur a higher compliance expense due to the stringent DEA controls on manufacturing, distribution, and possession, including mandatory secure storage and reporting. Penalties and violations are more severe, including legal and insurance costs. Brother Lawrence Perkins, that's with us today, spoke to that just a moment ago. But part of this is reducing the cost of their overhead and allowing a more efficient operation. Now, I don't understand the mindset that we're wanting to promulgate, we wanted to help, we want to prop up, we want to cause the marijuana industry to be more efficient and to be more productive, to be more cost-effective, and to produce more revenue. I can't fathom that, Brother Lawrence, as to why that would be done. It just does not meet the standard, in my mind, as to what our leadership should be doing for us in the United States of America. Ponder that thought a minute. We have on the line today Raymond. Raymond, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Thanks, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. I know it's been a while. Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you. Same to you and your family.
Thank you. So I just want to make a quick point. I got to jump off here. I'm kind of calling on lunch break. But, you know, I just happened to hear your program today, and I just wanted to make your listeners aware. I know your guest mentioned the amount of money that's being pushed into the marijuana agenda. And for the listeners to understand, I spent the last 18 years locally doing campaign management, and I have worked in the petition industry as a contractor in Northeast Florida. And this current drive for this petition drive that's going on right now in the state of Florida, okay, Governor DeSantis, thankfully, made it. He changed the rules for changing, for these constitutional amendments in the petition process, and he's thankfully made it a little harder. But they cannot pay per petition in the state of Florida anymore. But let me tell you how they get around that, and tell you the amount of money just very quickly. So now they have to pay so-called hourly, but they say 7 to 10 signatures represents 1 hour of work. and they are now paying. I was a previous contractor for the consultant that has this contract in the state of Florida. There's a lot of money in it. They are now paying $160 an hour to petitioners who, most of their petitioners are really just roaming drug addicts. You know, they're not very quality people. So these average, you know, people that are out here on the streets are literally, I know somebody that are good, clean people, whom I disagree with on this issue, that actually I know three different people that are working this petition, and in what, 20 to 40 hours of work a week, sitting in front of a tax collector's office or whatever, is clearing $3,000 a week. Mm. So there is tens and tens of millions of dollars being pumped into this to get this on the ballot. There's a lot of money. In fact, the contractor just gave away, I mean, this is the consultant now. His company literally did a drawing. I watched it. It's posted on their Facebook page. He gave away, as just a giveaway to the petitioners, a $10,000 prize last weekend, $5,000. It was a total of $30,000 that they just gave away. So, yes, I just want, well, you know, let everybody know there are lots of many millions of dollars being pumped into this.
Well, Raymond, what you're saying, and I pray that our listeners understand, that's how valuable this potential amendment in the state of Florida happens to be to the pot industry. They're willing to spend hundreds of thousands, yes, millions of dollars to get this approved. And Raymond, mm-hmm. I know that you probably know this, but I want to articulate it so our listeners will understand. If this passes, if this pot amendment is passed, it becomes not in the legislators' hands. It becomes a constitutional right. And a constitutional mm-hmm. right, and I want Brother Lawrence to jump in if there's a question. If it becomes a constitutional right, that marijuana puffer can puff marijuana, can use marijuana on the job, he cannot be fired because it becomes his right. If it is right, you cannot tell him what he cannot do. So we'll have a state that will be absolutely saturated with marijuana users, and it will have the streets and the places of business so filled up with pot smoke and pot smell that you won't want to go into business, but the people have that right to do it. A person can puff marijuana, mm-hmm. go on the job, flying an airplane, driving a taxi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and cannot be told that he cannot do that. Lawrence, speak to that for just a moment.
Okay. Dr. Youngblood, there's something, and we talked about earlier this year where I've encountered multiple of the petitioners, and they've been, many of them flown in from out of state, and they were sent as squads out in to different areas because each jurisdiction, they have to have so many signatures. I appreciate his comments, but yes, it is profound money that they're spending. But it's not just limited to that. If you look at former Congressman Matt Gaetz, who has an online gig now, but he was, according to the Miami newspapers, was being paid $250,000 by Trulieve to go in, and his, if you've been watching what he's been doing lately, he has been trying to intercept, I guess, messaging by some of the gubernatorial candidates, both and potential candidates for governor here. He just did a scathing piece on Fishbank and trying to do things. But Matt Gaetz is not who he used to portray himself to be. He used to be against lobbying. Now he is seemingly a very, very, very strong lobbyist now for not just for Trulieve, but let's move on from that. We have a number of things that Trulieve and all of the industry is trying to do in the state of Florida. As you rightly said, Florida has the potential to become the mecca for protected use of marijuana.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very dangerous.
We don't have the winters to drive them out like they do in Colorado, so they have a season of freedom. But it's not just the smoke, because again, the THC can be consumed in many, many ways now.
Absolutely.
The size of the market is profound. It is very easy for a pregnant woman to justify taking a gummy for morning sickness. It, in their minds, it's justified to deal with postpartum. But that directly encumbers and damages the brain of that unborn child and the newborn. The other things that happen that are so hidden beneath the guise of this being an acceptable product or an acceptable thing to have.
And just because it's legal in 42, 44 states doesn't mean that it is right or righteous. In fact, Raymond, I think you're still there. Thank you so much for your call, for your input on the broadcast today. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go ahead, Santiago, with your question or comment.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, God bless you. I believe these people, they don't have integrity. Like yourself, you have very integrity. I remember a long time ago that you made a comment that you have a property that they wanted to even you invest in liquors, something like that. And you say no because you believe in something. They should do, you know, over here, some law they try to pass. They should not be even in the ballot. Those things that they damage the brain, they damage the people, stuff like that. Soon they're going to come up with in the ballot. It's good to kill people, you know. They're going to come, you know, kill people like that, you know. And they should not be even in the ballot. Try to put it in the ballot. I know it's an amendment try to do, but that's what I believe. God bless you, Dr. Youngblood.
God bless you, Santiago. Thank you. And you say, will they approve killing? Yes. We're on the fast track in America to fall in the heels of the Netherlands, fall in the heels of some European states, fall on the heels of what's being done in Canada, where you have the euthanasia doctors, where they will put you to sleep. You go in and the doctor can put a needle in your arm that will kill you, and they get reimbursed and paid by the state. The state of Canada is doing that. The nation of Canada is doing that now. So I'm going to read an article that just was sent to me. It's from CNN Health, of all places. And the title of the article says, Scromiting, a bizarre condition linked to chronic marijuana use, is on the rise in America. This article reads, it was pain worse than childbirth, said a TikTok mom as she described her bout with uncontrollable vomiting after marijuana use. I was crying. I was screaming. I was like, I can't take this anymore. I hate my life, she said. I'm just begging God to please make it stop. Dubbed scromiting by social media due to the combination of screaming and loud vomiting, the medical name for the condition is cannabis hypermesis syndrome, a CHS, which is on the rise in the United States. Habitual users of cannabis, including teenagers, are showing up in the emergency rooms complaining of severe intestinal distress.
Dr. Youngblood, I've had personal experience meeting individuals that have experienced this, and it is not something that they have, something that they've ingested in their systems. This is a dry heave. They wouldn't have even consumed anything to expel, but the system is involuntarily trying to expel something that's not there. Mm-hmm. This is it, and this is prevalent across the U.S. in emergency rooms. I want to touch on the question that you just asked, both at the start of the show and just a few moments ago. Why would President Trump, what's influencing that?
Yes.
And there are two things that I see that I think are likely. One is, under Schedule 1, the research dollars for the United States are restricted. You can't spend those monies. And I believe that some of the universities that have been trying to make nice with the administration because of some of the things related to the way they have treated some of their students on campus and the things that they have allowed and some of the potential funding losses, they have now petitioned and said, hey, well, if we do this, how about getting us the cannabis off Schedule 1 so that they can receive those research dollars for potential medical research and other pieces. I believe also one of the things that you're getting from the financial side is that there is a lot of money to be made for IPOs and other things that are not available to companies that are principally in a Schedule 1
yes.
product. And between those, the investment community and those universities that are trying to press for research dollars, I believe that that is something. And it, you can understand that the that he wants to see proper research done, perhaps, but that can happen. They have profound money in this industry. That can be done in Canada. That can be done offshore. We don't need to spend and subsidize
that's
things
what
that we absolutely know are damaging.
That's you touched on it correctly. It's subsidizing an industry, a trade, a market of an, a product that is devastating and destructive for the United States of America. Any citizen in America that votes for that needs to, if I can be plain, they need to have the head examined. And by the way, touching on what you said, the industry itself has performed 99.5% of all research done in the past 30 years on marijuana. All of them come up with the idea that it's not harmful, it's not devastating, it's not something that would hurt you, it's beneficial to you. And all of those have been bought and paid for by the industry, just like with the cigarette industry 30, 40 years ago, that was bought and paid for. Their research said, nicotine won't hurt you, it's good for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, one of the things that I find that is so questionable in relationship to what is being said in relationship to that and the research, here's an article that says, calls recess cannabis risk. New research reported, for years, cannabis, America's favorite weed, was widely viewed as mostly safe. Recent publications have highlighted numerous problematic consequences of the cannabis use. Cannabis-related depression, emergency room visits, suicide, addiction risk are now in focus. Many people think it's impossible to become addicted to weed. Unfortunately, cannabis use disorder, that's CUD, is a rapidly growing addiction in the United States of America. And it goes on and on and on with that. One of the things that comes to mind in listening to President Trump's the blurb by Trump of his intent to change the classification, another side of that coin, a group is saying that if he does that, they're going to immediately file a class action suit demanding that everyone that's in the state and federal prisons that's in there because of marijuana use and or sale, that they need to be immediately released. What does it you say about that?
Well, I think that there are threads that we can pull that are profoundly bad consequences of a well-meaning thought. Mm-hmm. I think this is it's just one of many. You know, one of the things that we thought for a long time, asbestos was just a blessing and
good example.
Boy, but we found that it just destroys lives. It has killed and been responsible for so many problems. If we look at the tobacco industry, but even recently, as we talk about what the health implications of some of the additives that are in our food and other things that they're trying to campaign and get a lot of the manufacturers to not use, whether it's dyes or whether it's...
They call it Make America Healthy Again.
That's what they're saying. And they're... And people are being educated and saying all of these things really that they said were not so bad, they are so bad. Mm-hmm. And whether it's leading to autism, whether it's leading to other things, cannabis is off the scale.
Yes.
In terms of the things that it does and the damage that it can do. And the things that it does to enable controlling of people. You know, a lot of people have addictions. We've seen drug addictions for all. This is mainstreaming drug addiction. You know, people, unfortunately, some people are highly vulnerable to alcohol and they have destroyed lives all over that we've all heard of and maybe part of our own families. Mm-hmm. But we see that on the drug side as well. But the things that this new pot, this new cannabis, this new mining of this THC from agricultural products, whether it's hemp or whether it's marijuana, the THC that is effectively extracted can be presented and given to individuals are so much more damaging. As we've talked before, alcohol is water soluble. It gets through the system, they'll have a window of time, and it can damage your liver, it can do other things. THC is not water soluble. THC is fat soluble, and so it gets embedded into the systems, mm-hmm. and you can have a reaction to it. Many times, our brains are largely fat and fatty tissue, and the THC is soluble in that, and that's how an individual can, at one moment, not even be having taken anything related to cannabis or THC in even days and have a reaction. We had an airplane they had a pilot in the jump seat that suddenly had a reaction and tried to down a plane. He was overcome by the co-pilot and they were able to salvage the flight. But that individual had not taken any marijuana or THC or for over a day. But nevertheless, the reaction occurred.
Mm-hmm. Delayed reaction. I'm looking at an article that lists a lot of the physical things. One of them is physical health effect. THC concentrations can also cause acute effects like increased heart rate, respiratory issues, smoking and vaping. In some cases, cannabinoid is a syndrome of vomiting, long-term effects on the lungs, the health, the heart, etc., possible with inhalation methods. Now, my question, Brother Lawrence, is there a difference in rolling one and smoking a joint or using a vape that gets it directly into the lung system? Speak to that and then tell our listeners how they can go to your website and find articles about that.
Okay. Dr. Newman, that's a really good question, because there are two ways to ingest and get THC into your system. One is burning it. That's how people smoke it, and it gets directly into the lungs and into the blood system very, very, very quickly. The other way that so many ingest now is by taking a gummy or taking a drink additive or a THC-laced soda or any number of other ways. That is a bit more delayed, mm-hmm. which is why someone can take that going into work and be fine when they start work, but then be completely stoned or intoxicated 30 minutes or an hour into it, or even 4 hours into it. Now, one of the things that I do want to do is tell you that there's information out there that you can have. And again, if you don't mind, I'd like to also give that White House switchboard.
Yes,
again.
Please do that.
Okay, that White House switchboard is 202-456-1414. If you have a story or you have something to tell the president, please do. 202-456-1414.
Now, and one of the things, if I can put a little footnote on that, when you call, be kind, but say, Mr. President, please do not change the classification on marijuana. I know that it does this. I know that it does that. Or perhaps, as you said, a personal testimonial of what's happened to you, what's happened to members of your family, or those that you know, and the damage and the devastation and the danger and the cost that has, in fact, in the state of Colorado, there's been multitudes of increase in the percentages of foreclosures in Colorado because of people spending the money on pot rather than paying their rent or paying their house payment. Multitudes of kids, preteens and teenagers, have been rushed to the emergency room because of getting mom and daddy's gummies or because of the chocolate chip cookies that were all laced with marijuana. And right now, it is so massively problematic in Massachusetts. They're talking about putting in new legislation that will cancel the previous legislation that will again make it illegal to sell or to use or smoke pot in the state of Massachusetts. They're talking about the same thing in Colorado. In Colorado, for every $1 they bring in on taxes, they're spending $4.50 on social services to protect families that are destroying their lives. Go from that, if you would, Brother Lawrence.
Well, and I would say, again, echo your comment. Please use grace and decorum when you talk and leave a message.
Yes.
One of the things that I also want to do is at keepfloridafresh.com, I would encourage you to go in. There's a link directly to a document that's called The Risks of Marijuana Use, and that will go into the risk of unborn children, risk of mental health, risk of suicide, damage to mental ability, the cardiac and lung damage, risk of cancer, risk of depression, risk to brain development in children, risk of violence, and we haven't spoke to that today but that is a profound issue.
Yes.
Risk to driving and transportation. that document, you can get a direct link to that. It's 40 pages, including references and other things. You can download and look at it electronically and educate yourself as much as you want. And you can get that link at keepfloridafresh.com. We face a tremendous amount of funds and other things because the compelling issue, you know, granted, the trolley lawyers, they want more accidents on the road. Mm-hmm. They want more accidents in the store. They have more legal cases. And inevitably, they'll do like they did tobacco and sue the industry.
Yes.
So that we understand where the trolley lawyers are coming from. But the cannabis industry itself is fraught with investment into things that are profoundly damaging to your family, to my family, to this country's future. People that have anxiety, people that have frustration with the administration, frustration with somebody that has a different political view, frustration with a gender issue, frustration with any number of things. The psychosis that should come from this is compounded, and we see
off the charts
profound violence. We see other things. Please educate yourselves. Please don't sit by and watch this happen to us.
Lawrence, what would you say to any pastor, all pastors, or those that are Sunday school teachers or deacons that tuned in, listening today? What should they do? How should they respond? Should they be open in their notification of their congregation of what is happening and what we should do as citizens and as Christians in particular?
Well, many of them try to avoid politics and other things. This is not a political issue.
That's right.
This is an issue of health and well-being and, quite frankly, salvation.
Yes.
We need those pastors to have the heart and mind to say, here's something that's a threat to my people who are my brothers and sisters and their families.
Yes.
And they need to educate them and say, listen, this is very, very dangerous. You teach your child not to touch a hot stove. You need to teach your child that their future can be damaged irreparably.
Yes.
By participating and listening to what this culture, and now maybe even more so, is trying to get them to do and try.
Yes. One of the things that many younger people will look at today, it's legal, so it must be all right. Well, abortion is legal, but it's still murder. Some will say, well, smoking a cigarette is legal, so why not do it? Some say, well, drinking is legal, so let's do it. They're putting in the same category, and if President Trump makes the vital major decision to reduce the classification, he is the responsible party, in my opinion, for opening Pandora's box to destroy, to decimate the United States of America.
Well, opening wider.
Open it wider.
We have a fight right now. This is today to make these calls, and we have a profound challenge in front of us over the next months.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Look at you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative.